Potters. Welcome to episode 270 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
We do apologize that we are recording on an unusual night, but you know, sometimes real life gets in the way. So those of you who are listening to this as a recording, nothing will have changed because it will release at the same time as normal. But for those of you listening live, thank you very much for being in the audience tonight. We appreciate you.
We always appreciate you.
Indeed. So why don't we go ahead and start off with cosplay updates? Would you like to go first since I see thing in the background, or would you like me to go first?
Customarily, you go first. So why don't you go first?
All right. So I have one thing that I purchased that I will show you, and then I have one thing that I'm working on. So let me start with the thing that I purchased first. And those of you who have been listening for the past couple of episodes know that I have been experimenting a lot with molding and casting and basically doing a lot of practice. And the practice pieces I end up saving because I'm going to use them in later cosplays. Because, of course, you know, not only do I like cosplays that tend to have long hair, but they also usually are begemmed out the wazoo. And I've gotten really tired, no offense to Plastic Beats Wholesale, but I've gotten really tired of having to buy gems in bulk to get, you know, decent pricing on them. Because, you know, you'll buy gems like this and it's like, okay, well, you have to buy 10 of them minimum. It's like, okay, well, what cosplays can I make that will use these up? Because I don't want to have them around forever. And so originally what I had done so that I don't have to buy any more of these is, you all have seen that I've been using silicone, and so I made my own mold. And I know this does not look fancy, but basically I cast these like this, and that's why you see the holes at the top for the resin. So I basically placed, you know, a couple of these different gems side by side, and then I poured silicone over them. And that's great, but this mold actually only has three gems worth in it. One, two, three. That's not very many if I need to make a cosplay's worth of gems. I'd have to cast this multiple times, which means like a week's worth of casting between the pouring and the setting and the drying. And I was like, nah. And I know that there are places that do sell molds, but they usually don't have the right kind of gems that I'm looking for cosplay, because they're usually like certain sizes,
sure,
not shapes. Everything has like the round shape, the oval shape, the teardrop shape. It's because I like different sizes. And so what I ended up getting at Joann's, as I lift this up off camera, there we go. Joann's has a new mold that I saw when I was out getting my replacement hard coat Mod Podge. And so I have tons of gems.
Yeah,
so many. You can, compared to the size of my hand, you can see this is a fairly sizable silicone mold. And it has all different sizes and shapes of gems. And you've probably seen my previous practice attempts, because back when they carried Mod Melts, they used to have a mold that looked like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that this is significantly smaller in size than this one, for one. But for two, I don't know if you can see it in the light with the mold, but these are faceted.
Yeah, you can definitely see that better. That's faceted. The other one is just slick.
These are smooth.
Yeah.
And you can actually see the difference, because I brought a couple of my tests. This is a faceted one, so you can see it looks more diamond-esque with all of the different angles on it. And this is a smooth one, so you can see there's no facets on it. This is the style I prefer. I don't like facets at all.
Which is funny. I prefer facets.
For me, the facets look like the fake gems you get in like little girls' playsets.
I think they look
more
real.
These look more anime-ish. I almost dropped it.
That's funny.
And you can see the same thing in the teardrop shape. So you can see the one in my left hand right here. This one is faceted, so you can see all the little angles there. And this one is very, very smooth. They're the same size, just one has facets and one doesn't. And that was kind of my test run of this mold, to see if you need to put in mold release.
Mm.
Because usually with silicone molds, you don't have to, generally speaking. But for some silicone molds, they're just finicky and you need to put mold release in there to be able to get your pieces out. Thankfully, this one did not end up needing mold release, which is a good thing. Because it's less money and less things I have to keep around if I have to keep mold release around, even though normally you can kind of cheap out and use like Vaseline.
You can use Vaseline
as a mold release.
You can do
among other
WD-40
things.
Too.
Yep. Although I will caution you, WD-40 smells,
Yeah, it
and
smells.
it's a very toxic smell. So do not recommend using it if you're casting indoors. Outdoors is okay. Indoors, you're not gonna like it. So I am very happy with my purchase. This was, I think, $17, but
Okay,
you
that's
can
not
of course get
bad.
it. You can get it on sale. So I ended up getting it half off because I had a coupon. Never buy anything full price if you have to. So I've obviously been molding and casting for one thing. And for the other, I will show you these. Thankfully, I think the paint job is dry. Yeah, they're dry.
Oh, good.
So these are ferns.
Yeah, I can see that. They're gold.
They are gold. In fact, they still need to have another couple of layers added to them. But eventually, I'm going to snip off all the little branch pieces so that I can arrange them more artistically. And they're going to go sitting on these lovely hair combs, along with these nice little flowers.
Okay.
And I will leave you all to guess what cosplay this is for.
Not a clue. Couldn't even begin to guess because it could be
And no,
anything.
it is. It's not Athena. So you will probably be seeing this accessory once I am finished with it, because it's taking me a little while to do the coats. Because this does not take paint well. This plasticky material does
No, it
not take paint
doesn't.
well. Even Ceram coat still takes multi layers.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to finish getting this set up, and then I'm going to snip everything off, artistically arrange it on the barrettes, and plant the little flowers in it. And it will be a hair accessory for an upcoming cosplay.
Nice.
I am very sad to report that my jacquard paint dried up.
That does happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. So the next thing I'm going to have to save my money for, I have two cosplay runs coming up. One is going to be at Spark Fun because I need LEDs
Of course you do.
and things that light up. Of course I
Of
do.
course you
And the second is going to have to be another jacquard run because I know that Ceram Coat just came out with a fabric medium that you can pour into their paint and turn it into fabric paint, which I'm making air quotes very consciously because even if you use that, it's still not really meant to be fabric paint,
Yeah.
whereas jacquard is specifically
Specifically for
made
fabric
for
paint.
fabric,
Yeah.
just like Angelus is specifically made for leather. You can't just take acrylic paints and just paint them on fabric or leather. It doesn't work. And when you throw it in the wash, more often than not, you will wash the paint out.
Or,
So.
especially with acrylics, the thing is, like, if you, depending on the fabric, it kind of soaks it into the fabric and it makes it very rough and tough. So the paint may not come off, it may crack, or if anything, it may spread more and make it even worse. It really depends. It's kind of a hit or miss situation. It's, no, it basically changes the texture and the feeling and the weight of your fabric, and it ends up being kind of clunky and it's not as good.
Yeah, this is one of those times where normally you can cheap out and use the product for a purpose that it was not intended for. So, could you paint something with acrylic paints and get away with it? Sure.
Sure.
You're never going to be able to wash that cosplay.
Yeah.
And you will probably only get one wearing out of it. So, it's much better in this particular case. Yes, it's more expensive, but you will be grateful for the results. And it will save you a lot of heartache in the future. So I'm going to have to do a jacquard run. I usually only wait until I need multiple colors
Good
because
plan.
it's like $5 a jar if you get multiple jars, but then you have to pay shipping. So it's something to account for. So I'm going to have to get all my metallics replaced because they're all gone now. And then I'll probably have to get a couple of the primary colors. Just so that I can have them for future cosplays because I do use them often.
Sure.
I didn't have very much left in the jar that I had left. I had like that much left. So it was kind of probably inevitable that it was going to dry up, but I'm still sad.
Things happen,
So
unfortunately.
yeah. Sad end to my cosplay updates. I'm very sorry, folks.
It is what it is. I mean, that's part of the experience too, because I mean, you've had those cans how
I've had those
many?
for a long time and they did get
Yeah.
used, so I did get my money's worth out of them. So I'm definitely not sad in that regard. Plus, It's not like they're discontinued. I
Oh,
can
yeah.
still get more of them. I just have to purchase them online. I am a little sad they're not in stores anymore, but at least we could still get them online.
Exactly. All right, I guess it's my turn then. Well, as you can see, there's a dress form behind me with some stuff that I've been working on that I'm trying to pattern and make happen into a thing, and it's greatness. I've only done half the dress form because this is my way of saving materials and not having to do the whole thing. If I know it fits on half of it, then I'll be fine, especially since the shirt is supposed to be an oversized button shirt, men's style. It fits more than half of it. We're cool. The bottom of the skirt itself has a lovely pleat in the front and a pleat in the back. It fits just fine. We're cool. I don't need to make the whole thing. We can move on over to the fabric. It's great. So yeah, this is what I've been working on. I'm trying to remind myself how to do an inverted box pleat, which hurt my brain for a moment because of the way that I drew it on the pattern. At the time, it made sense, but this was also several months ago. And then I went back to it and was like, this doesn't make sense anymore. So I ended up just kind of going with the fabric and being like, okay, the pleat's supposed to go this way. It's supposed to come up here. Okay. Still doesn't
Right.
make
You kind of
sense.
have to do it and fold it.
Yeah. It still makes zero sense on the pattern that I have over here. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I know how this works on the fabric. It's fine and it gets me the results that I wanted. I am not going to complain. It's all good. So there we go. So I have my fabric cut out, and actually earlier I was ironing all of it because I have to get this thing nice and crisp and clean. The shirt is going to be a cotton, and I need to make pinstripes on it. I have decided for my sanity, I was initially going to use this wonderful paint pen that I have, and actually hand draw the lines on. I'm not as stable or as steady as Amber is with the line drawing. And I know I will make mistakes, especially since even though it's a very fine tip pen, I know myself well enough that I'm gonna make a mistake. So I'm just gonna do the lines with my standard erasable marker and then go over it with my sewing machine using thread. It's not gonna be 100% accurate to the character, but I don't care. It'll look nicer. It'll be much cleaner, especially for me, and I will be so much happier for it. So I'm gonna do that.
Plus, this way you don't have to worry about like accidental bleeding or accidental accident,
Exactly.
like the pain going sploosh.
Sploosh.
Yeah, those things just tend to happen, not regularly, but just when you least need them to.
Yeah, and I wish I could show this, but it's currently in my craft cabinet right now. But this particular paint pen, it's actually more of a paint marker. And the way that it's designed is it really does very nice, clean, simple lines. You don't get a whole lot of the stippling or the dabbling or boof, like usually you just make a line or you make a signature or whatever. It does it very nice and clean and freely. So it's actually really, really nice and I like this brand a ton. It's mostly I'm just concerned about my hand doing this. It's just a little bit of a tremble and I'm like, oh crap, oh crap. Now I gotta make the whole thing thicker to fix it and now it all looks like crap because
Right.
one thick line, one thin line.
And those sorts of
Yeah.
things, like you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell from far away,
I would
but up
know.
close, that
I would
too.
know and I would be so angry and I have used every possible inch of this 2 yards. I can fudge a sleeve. I can fudge half of the front. I can fudge the collar and two cuffs, but I can't fudge any more than that.
Yeah,
Because then I have to
that
buy
happens
all
to
new
me with
fabric.
embroidery. Like my embroidery, it looks fine if I hold it at like 10 feet away,
Exactly, 10
but
foot
as
rule.
soon as I get up close, like I can immediately see my mistakes and then I cringe and it's just like
Yeah, and thankfully because it's made out of a really nice cotton, this isn't cheap cotton, this is actually like really nice suiting cotton. I know if I accidentally go a little off in my stitching, I can just undo it and redo it. The holes will not exist. It's great. I love it. So that'll be fun. And it's the same scenario with the skirt. The skirt is made out of this beautiful linen cotton blend, so it'll breathe wonderfully. And surprisingly, the weave is so tight, I don't know if I need a slip underneath it. I might make one just for my own peace of mind, but like no light goes through it. It's great. It's wonderful and it breathes really well too. It's wonderful fabric. So I got to work on that and I think that's probably the thing that I'll finish up this weekend because it doesn't require anything extra than just stitching it together and making these pleat buddies happen and remembering to keep some of the sides open so I can install pockets because pockets are wonderful and everybody should have pockets. They're great. So yeah, this is all sitting on my table over here. You can't really see it in shot because I had to fold everything so you wouldn't have this train wreck on the podcast. And the other thing that I have done, at least, is I have been painting my shoes. Ah, they're not done. They're done for now. They're good enough for the con. I'm going to finish everything else first, and then if I have enough time left over, then I'll continue adding to it. But honestly, I'm so happy with how these turned out that I'm cool with just leaving them as they are. It's wonderful. So the original paint color is that. And then this is the final paint color. This was just a standard brown, and this one was actually taupe with a heck of a lot of white that I had kind of threw together to make this custom color. I have so much left over, I have extra just in case if mistakes happen. And this was done with Angelus leather paint because Angelus is amazing and it is worth every single penny to get this done. And then I did a satin top coat just so that way it gets that nice little shine to it, and it looks so great and pretty and wonderful. So yeah, I'm being semi-period accurate by having to
Are we
paint my
allowed to
shoe.
know what the character is?
I'm doing Evelyn from The Mummy, the 1999 wonderful Brendan Fraser movie, The Mummy. It's
Got it.
wonderful. But the other thing I also wanted to bring up that I think is very helpful and something that every stinking cosplayer should do to the bottom of your shoes: shoe grips.
Non-slip.
Non-slip shoe grips. Particularly, I recommend this brand. We're not sponsored by them, but Kiwi is amazing and it's probably the best shoe slip step grip that you can ever get. And the reason I recommend this specifically with women's shoes is because for some reason or another, most of our shoes are made with like the slipperiest bottoms known to man. And you can't really see it here, but they have these fakey lines that give you the impression of, oh, you can totally grip stuff. No, you can't. Like, I was slipping on carpet, I was slipping on tile. Like, the second I pulled these on and put them on my feet, I was like, I will not be able to walk. I will slip. Let me get my grips out. Yeah, that just seems to be a standard with women's shoes, and I hate that. So I have been using these forever and a day for my work shoes and my cosplay shoes. And let me tell you, the reason I prefer this brand was two reasons. One, the adhesive is so stinking strong, it will last. It will last beyond the lifetime of the shoe. I have boots that I have thrown out with these still intact that were like several years old. So these last. But the other thing I like though is the texture on them grips anything without damaging the floors, which is wonderful. Because you'll find a lot of ones that are off brands that are just okay. Like you can get a pack of these. So it's like these, a pack of two of these was $12.99. It's a little expensive, I know. However, it is worth it, I promise. But I mean, you can get like a pack of 10 for $5.99 off of Amazon or whatever. But you kind of run the risk with the texture being off that it's not going to grip everything and it can potentially damage floors. These are just enough that you can hear it. And it's like, obviously, it's textured, it's going to grip. But there's a smoothness around each little end that it doesn't do any damage, which is nice. And I live in a place with a lot of wood floors. I would like to keep them as new as possible, given that they were already damaged by other people. So anything to protect my wonderful floors, I will use. But yes, every cosplayer, just please use these. You will be so grateful that you have them in your life, and you will start applying them to all of your shoes afterwards because good gravy, they are amazing. But yes, enjoy the painted shoe. This took
And
way too much work.
whenever you get new shoes for a cosplay, it's also recommended that you break them in before the con.
Yes, absolutely.
And having those non-slip soles is part of that. So you'll want to apply them early and then, take your shoes, wear them around the house, do your household chores, take care of anything that you need to do. Like you can exercise, whatever it takes to break in your shoes, just so that you don't have that stiff shoe problem at con because your feet will hurt a lot worse if you don't break them in first.
And then you get the blisters and then all the pain in your
Right.
feet and cuts and all like that. Yeah. And just like with any adhesive product, give it a full 24-hour cure once you apply it before you start wearing the shoe, just so it has enough time to actually sit and settle. I will say I have tried it before after a couple of hours and it did just fine, but be smart and do the 24-hour rule just to be safe.
Yep.
That's what I have for cosplay updates, and I will have more next time. Hopefully, I'll have a skirt. Maybe I'll have most of the shirt done, or at the very least, all the lines done, because good Lord, it's going to be a lot of lines.
But wait, there are more updates.
We have more updates. Good gravy. We have so many updates this
They're just
episode.
not, they're not cosplay updates of our own. They're
No.
all con updates this time.
Yes. So what's our first AllCon update?
We have our judges set for the cosplay contest for AllCon, and we are proud to announce them here.
Yay.
So our first judge is Erica Muse Cosplay. Yay. Round of applause, round of applause.
Cosplay and voice actress.
Indeed. Our second judge will be Miho Mouse Cosplay.
Yay.
Round of applause. And our third judge will be Prop Monkey Studios.
Yay.
We are very appreciative and grateful to all of our judges for agreeing to work with us for the con. Of course, if you would like to see their bios and access their pages, we will have that information not only in the show notes, but it's also going to be present on the rules page of the cosplay contest. So you can visit there and not only get the information about the judges, but all of the rules that we will be evaluating our contestants against if you would like to join the contest. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
If you're listening to us right now, you have 3 weeks left to sign up. By the time this episode, no, 2 weeks left, my apologies. You all have 2 weeks left to sign up. By the time this episode releases, you will have exactly 1 week left to sign up online. We recommend that you do so because we are already at half capacity. And we're steadily still getting in a couple more. Because this was asked on our event page if we're going to have on-site signups. We will, as long as we have not hit maximum capacity. So if you want to make sure that you get in, you can even change your costume later. That's totally fine. But if you want to make sure that you get in, we recommend signing up online. It's the exact same questions you would answer on site. The benefit to signing up online is you don't have to worry about doing it on site. So you don't have to stand there for a couple minutes and fill everything out. You can just do it from the convenience of their home. It's done, ready to go. Same thing with submitting your reference photos. You don't have to bring them. You just submit them to us online and we'll have them at the judging session ready to go. Easy peasy. And you'll get a much earlier pre-judging time. Now at this point, because we're halfway through, it'll still be a little bit later than the others because we want to go by first come, first serve, but you will still be earlier than those who sign up on site. So if you want the guarantee that you'll be in the contest, it's recommend that you sign up online. As of today, you got 2 weeks, but as of this episode releasing, it is 1 week left. So don't sit on it.
Yep. So if you have any inkling that you might want to participate, go ahead and sign up. You can always drop out later if you need to. We understand life gets in the way sometimes. But it's better to sign up and have the slot than to risk it and wait and then get to the con. And there are no signups because we reach capacity. Bear in mind that there is no wait list. We are not waitlisting any contestants. So once we fill up to capacity, that's it. We're not taking any more submissions. So get those in ASAP, please, both for our sakes, but also for your sakes.
Absolutely.
And I believe we also have some other contest announcements. Yes.
Yes. Yes. The last two announcements. Yeah, it's two announcements. We can do two announcements. The first is that we have already announced one of our big prizes for Best in Show. For those who have been following our Facebook page and our event page and all of our social media, Best in Show, you can win up to four badges. One, two, three, four badges to AllCon 2024. Those are pretty coveted badges because we understand badge prices are going up, and that's a pretty big one. And we're very thankful that AllCon was willing to provide us with badges for our Best in Show winners so that you guys get to experience a really fun con next year without having to worry about the coverage. So yay, that'll be awesome. And I'm really grateful for that one. And then our very last prize that we were able to finalize is we were able to give away cash again. Yay, we love cash prizes.
Cash is awesome.
Always fun. It'll definitely cover your parking fees. Yay.
Sorry.
So for our beginner, intermediate, and advanced categories, we're giving away $20. And then Best in Show, you'll be getting 50 whole buckaroos. That's always fun. So we will be adding that to the rules and to our prize list later this evening because it was something that we just got finalized today. So it's coming along the way. Cool for that. So yay, more stuff. And then the other thing is another thank you to Photo Persuasion for your sponsorship and donating free photos to the contest for our winners. Make sure that you check out his booth during AllCon weekend. It'll be located right outside the exhibit hall. The photo shoot itself is completely free. Anybody can go. Doesn't matter if you're in the contest or not. He is giving everybody free photos for the weekend, the photo shoot for the weekend. But if you want actual photos after the convention, you just go to his website, you pay a small fee, and you can download what you need. More information about all of that is going to be on our rules page. And for those who have signed up or are about to sign up, we also provide that information to you through the confirmation email.
Yep. And of course, if you all have any questions about any of these things, you're always welcome to contact us at any time. Our contact information, of course, is via the podcast, but also you can contact us via the convention itself, and we will happily answer as many questions as we can.
Absolutely.
If we don't know an answer, then we will do our best to get one for you.
Mm-hmm. But so far, we're pretty good about getting the answers to you in a very, very timely manner.
Yep. And we run a very efficient contest, so you don't have to worry about it going overtime or being able to not meet friends or eat dinner at a reasonable hour. We take care of all of that.
We're mindful of that.
Yes, we have been a part of one too many, 6 or 8 hour contests ourselves.
Or
we know
12 or 14 hour contests.
We understand.
We don't want to be that way.
Indeed. So we hope to see many of you there. It's, again, a great first contest if you've never competed before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good beginner level contest to enter.
We hear that a lot from first timers, that they enjoy entering it because they know it's a good stepping stone to get into it. So, yay.
Yep. We do a walkthrough and everything. We show you how to walk across the stage, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So I think next on the list is CosPod updates.
Yes, it is.
So I had two very quick things. One is that we've made some modifications to the website just to kind of help it run a little bit faster. Nothing that you guys will notice other than, ooh, it's like 2 seconds faster to load. So hope you guys enjoy that. Two thumbs up. Yay. But the other one that's kind of more of an important one is Twitter and all of the changing things going on with it and their change in their API update, which is going to be pretty stinking soon. We currently do use an API to help cross post amongst all of our social media just because it's a lot to keep up with. And I know most of it is me doing it, and I know Amber tries to help out whenever she can, but it's like, you only have so much time in the day to actually put towards social media, and especially with this being our hobby, on top of other hobbies and responsibilities, it's a lot of work. So there's a pretty good chance that that API is gonna die when the new rule takes effect on Twitter. So I will do my best to make sure that I keep checking Twitter. It's just we may not be posting there as often and we may not be responding there as often. And I apologize in advance for it. It's just we can only do so much. If you want to talk to us on social media, Facebook is really the best place. We get more notifications that way than we do on Instagram. Instagram is hit or miss, which is really funny because it's owned by Meta, which is Facebook. So go fig. Or if you want to reach out to us, email. Email is absolutely 100% the best way. We always see the emails. So you can hit us at podcast, cospod@podcast.org. Wait, no. Is that
podcast
right?
At cospod.org.
Yep. I have been emailing a lot lately, so my brain is a little fuzzy.
we have many podcast addresses. That's the best one to reach us at.
Yes.
And if you have concerns about data privacy issues, email is probably better than social media.
Absolutely.
At this point. Yeah, it's not that the API is necessarily like completely going away. It's that they're going to start charging for it.
They're going to start charging for it.
We as a hobby podcast,
can't afford those prices.
Yeah, we don't have unlimited funds, unfortunately, especially because they may consider us a business based on our volume of usage. And actually, to that point, right now we're working through some concerns with where we normally take donations.
Mm.
So if you all do feel motivated to donate to us to cover things like the Twitter API thing, don't get me wrong. We're very grateful and very appreciative for anybody that even thinks about doing this. Please don't send donations right now because we're trying to work through some of the concerns that we're having right now with our financial services. And if you try and send anything to us right now, it's going to get bounced back to you.
Mm.
So please hold off on any donations that you may wish to make. We'll let you know when it's safe to do it again. So for right now, just please, we ask for your understanding with any disruption in any of our services, including, social media and such, while we work through, some unstable
Yeah, the
concern.
logistics.
Yeah. Yeah, so please, we just ask for your kind understanding. It will
Yeah,
get better.
it will get
You know, the
better.
website's already gotten better. It's
Yes.
2 seconds faster. So we will eventually get through all of these other things. So, you know, please bear with us.
It's 2 seconds faster. Apple's still working. Google updated again because, of course, it seems like Google Podcast loves to break every now and then and then go up and then down and up. And why, I do not know. But Google's working again. Yay! Apple's still doing great. Spotify is still doing great. Amazon Music's still doing great. So, you know what? All the other podcasting avenues are fine. It's just the social media and all these other little things. You're just like, okay, we're
And
working through them. We'll figure it out.
you can still stream through our YouTube channel as
Oh,
well.
yeah,
If you don't want to
absolutely.
download, if you just want to stream it live and you have the data, please feel free to visit our YouTube channel where we have all of these archived, plus you get the after session on YouTube as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's an incentive there if you can't reach any of our podcasting services.
So there you go.
Which also, we would ask if for some reason you go to download any of our podcasts and something breaks, you know, if a link is broken or if the service becomes unreachable, please do let us know because the podcast service itself doesn't always notify us when something breaks.
No, they
So
don't tell us.
we don't know that you guys can't download the podcast because we don't download our own podcast most of the time. We already know how we sound like.
I have to, I'm the one who edits these things and I have to make multiple versions of it. I listen to us so many times and I'm sick of my own voice. So I don't want to listen to our podcast recreationally. I do it already.
Yeah. So because we don't download our own show, we kind of rely on you all to tell us whenever something breaks, and we will promptly go and fix it, I promise.
Absolutely, yeah. We just need to know if it breaks. I try to update like the feeds manually every couple of months just to make sure things are still working. But I don't always get a chance to do that too. So I'm like, "Oh, oops, something didn't work. Oops, oops. I will fix immediately."
Yeah, it happens from time to time. I
Yeah.
mean, all it takes is one typo and the entire feed breaks, and we
Right.
won't know,
Like you
but
forget that you can't use
it
an
can be fixed.
ampersand and you use an ampersand and you're like, "Oh,
Right.
oopsie. That doesn't work."
Yeah, coding is hard, folks.
Coding is hard. Yeah,
Much respect to those that actually, you know, code for a living and do developer work.
it's fun. HTML is great.
But I believe that is all of our updates, right?
That is
For
all of
today.
our updates. That's all of our updates. Do we have enough time to even talk about our topic? Because we are already 30 plus minutes in, and we just done cosplay updates and podcasts and all con. Like, good Lord, this is going to be a busy one, guys. Strap
Was good
in.
information, to be fair.
It was all very valuable, fun information, and it needed to be shared. It was just a lot of it. Oh, gravy.
All right, well, I think we can do our topic fairly quickly because I have a feeling we have a very similar opinion on
Yeah, I think we have a very similar opinion. It's just one of those where it's just kind of popped up and it was like, you know what? I think it's worth discussing. And I think if we have enough people in our chat room too, that you guys are more than welcome to jump on in and we'd love to hear your 2 cents or 20 cents.
25 cents. Let's
25
make it a
cents.
quarter.
We'll give you the full quarter. How about
Awesome.
that?
Well, for today's topic, we wanted to discuss AI art and cosplay. And of course, you all may have seen on, speaking of social media, the growing popularity of engines like DALL-E, DALL-E, which is basically an art synthesis engine. It looks at a bunch of different samples of other people's art that they made themselves, and then you give it instructions and say, make me a piece of art with this, and you tell it what you want in the art, and it'll create it for you based on all of the learning and training that it did with all of those previous artworks.
Sure.
And we're going to set aside for right now the controversy over like copyright and whether or not this is ethical. We're going to set that aside for a moment
Just
just because that would
temporarily, because
be
it will come back up.
right, or at least the copyright issues as dealing with DALL-E. And people's art and whether or not that should be used, that could be a whole nother episode on its own. We could probably talk for a whole hour about that. We're only going to be talking about those things in relation to cosplay. So just kind of wanted to set a quick boundary around that because I know there are other issues having to do with it. We're just not going to discuss those right now.
Yeah, we'll probably just touch on them a little bit because some of those issues do still pertain to the cosplay aspect of it.
Right.
So do you want to explain how the AI works as far as the art situation is concerned, how it learns, how it stores?
I'm actually not as familiar with it, only because I am not an artist.
Mm.
And I happen to have known a lot of people that were on, say, you know, sites like DeviantArt and had their art brought in by DALL-E. I had actually deleted my art accounts previously, so it did not have my art to train on.
Mm-hmm.
But I know plenty of people who did.
Yep.
And it kind of, to my understanding, learns by categorizing things. So mm-hmm. if you tell it, like, I want a picture of a wolf, well, it has gone through millions, literally millions of other pieces of art and learned what wolf is
mm-hmm.
by looking at other people's pictures of wolves. And it kind of learns to categorize and label things. And it goes, oh, that's a wolf. That's a wolf. That's a wolf. This is how a wolf should look. So that way it can turn around and synthesize or create a picture of a wolf based on what it has learned what wolf is. And part of the problem with that, not to get into ethics, but just part of the technical problem with that is it only knows what it has learned from.
Yes.
So if it learns from bad pictures, if you give it a bunch of pictures and you say, oh, this is a wolf, but it's not actually a wolf, say it's a puppy, it doesn't know the difference.
It doesn't
because
know.
It's not a human being. So it will genuinely think that pictures of puppies are wolves. And then if you ask it, draw a wolf, it's going to draw you a puppy. So that's kind of part of the problem with learning engines is whatever you put in is what you get out. And it's the same thing with art. As it's taking in people's art, it's learning kind of what these different concepts are.
Mm-hmm.
So if I say, draw a sunset in the mountains of California, it's going to interpret that. It's going to break it up. Okay, you want sunset, you want mountains, you want California. And it's going to try its best to satisfy those three things in one painting
mm-hmm.
based on what it remembers.
Oh,
so hopefully the input is good. Yeah, hopefully the input of what it has for those three things is good. It may not be what you expect. And the AI also doesn't really know what's human.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, draw a hand. Well, if I were to define hand for a human, it's going to be a palm and five fingers of different lengths, right? The AI doesn't necessarily know that because we haven't told it what human hand is. It's only learned from art.
Mm-hmm.
So it could draw a hand, and it has.
Yeah.
It has six fingers. It could draw a hand that is impossibly long. It could draw a hand that is doubled.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been examples of this, and this impacts cosplay because it would do a similar thing by learning from cosplay pictures, since it doesn't necessarily know, you know, what is anime, what is manga, what is cosplay, you know, what is skirt, what is shirt, what is crown. It doesn't know these things because we're not typing in and saying, here's the Oxford Dictionary version of whatever this is. It's learning by pictures.
Right.
So it will be interesting to see what it starts doing once it figures out what cosplay is. For a lot of people, cosplay still basically means costume.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the play part out of it. As far as the AI is concerned, it's basically costuming. So that's my understanding more or less of how it works.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much on it.
Yeah,
I think the big confusion that people have is they think that the AI brain is something similar to like Windows Explorer, where you just have a bunch of files and they just drop a bunch of files in there. And then it's like, okay, I want to remove stuff so you can remove a couple of pieces. It doesn't work like that. It's like the human brain. Once that knowledge is in there, it's in there somewhere. You can't easily just pluck it out and remove it. It's stuck in the AI, and it just always has it. And that's where some of the problems are, is that people want their stuff removed, or they didn't give consent or permission for their stuff to be utilized in such a way, but the AI was built that you can't just remove that information without destroying the AI.
Same way you can't really remove memories from a human brain.
Exactly.
Once you have it, it's there. It can be changed.
It can be changed.
You can alter memories, but
absolutely,
you can never just take it out.
Take it out, yeah. You may maybe not remember something because of reasons, life circumstances. Things may fade away. Things may come and go. But there is a portion of your brain that still knows that this situation happened. This happy moment was there. You may not always remember the full details of it or grasp everything, but it still exists. You can never actually extract it from your brain permanently. It's not a science fiction movie. We're not at those times yet.
Right. Now, I will say that I have not seen this particular art form used for cosplayers, but I have seen it used by at least one artist to generate concept art.
Yes.
For new costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you could do with it is feed this learning model a bunch of pictures of, say, historical clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say dresses, just as an example. So I'll feed it dresses over the centuries. And I'll say, okay, dresses from this region look like this. Dresses from this region look like this. Here's dresses from this time period. And just feed it a bunch of art.
Mm-hmm.
Of dresses, so that it has an idea of this is dress. So if I had to say, like, define what is a dress, it's something shaped like this. So it has a concept of dress.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, create a dress in Edwardian style in red. And it will have had pictures of Edwardian dresses, and it will have pictures of red dresses. So it will try its best to, like, satisfy that kind of a picture. Now, you wouldn't necessarily give it that sort of a prompt because we already have pictures of Edwardian dresses. You don't need the AI to give you one. What you could do is say, show me a steampunk Edwardian dress incorporating feathers as a theme, and give it something that we know doesn't exist in a picture, but it can create that based on pictures of feathers, pictures of Edwardian dresses, and pictures of steampunk. And it'll put all three of those things together. And by our powers combined, you get, you know, Voltron or Transformers,
mm-hmm.
the equivalent of a cosplay, a future cosplay concept. Now, again, just like the human thing where it may give you a hand with six fingers or
right.
it may give you like weird results, the computer's going to try its best to satisfy whatever instructions you give it. But because it's not human intelligent, it won't necessarily know that what it gave you is wrong. So you may have to finesse the instructions you give it to, like, better tell it, like, no, this is what I'm looking for. No, that wasn't right. Change this. And you can kind of, like, change your instructions over
mm-hmm.
time, and it'll give you, like, multiple iterations, and it'll get closer and closer as you get there to kind of what you have in mind. It may never get there entirely, but it'll get closer. So I've seen that used for concept art purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And it has done some beautiful things, at least in my own, like, aesthetic opinion. It has made some really beautiful concept art of different character costumes. I don't think I would like it making cosplayer picks.
See, that's where I've been seeing it, is I have been seeing people utilize it to create cosplayer picks for themselves or for others in various different characters, different poses, different styles. It all still looks, it looks a lot like bad graphic design, because it's still, these modules are still learning and they're still growing, so they don't have access to everything and trying to figure out what stuff is. But a lot of it is coming across very, it makes me very uncomfortable, for sure. And I know I've seen a couple of cosplayers who are already spinning this into NFTs and trying to sell them as prints and stuff like that. And it's just, this is not an era that we want to move into for cosplay, because now we're putting extra expectations on social media to try to grow reach and all of that by saying, okay, I can't make a costume every week. I can't buy a costume every week. Let me start doing AI generated costumes on myself to push those numbers and get into even more of that unhealthy cycle of content, 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 consume.
Because people will try and translate that into real life, and
yes.
they'll feel obligated to try and keep up.
Yes.
And they'll either turn to AI on themselves
yeah.
as well, or they're going to try and do it physically in real life and make those costumes that often, which is not healthily
Not
humanly
healthy.
possible.
It's not a healthy mindset. No, not at all. Especially
And as
since.
mentioned,
Oh, go
go ahead.
ahead. Oh,
I was going to bring in chat. As mentioned in chat, there's also a not safe for work content issue currently being dealt with AI, and that can impact cosplayers as well. If you have cosplayers that are put into costumes or situations that they do not consent to, because remember, cosplay is not consent, is still a thing. If they didn't give consent, it brings in all sorts of issues, not to mention emotional damage to that cosplayer and reputational damage for something that they never actually did.
It's
That's
a
all.
it's a whole ball of wax and worms and just messy, disgusting things. And unfortunately for a number of us, our images are already out there and already being used without our permission. And that's where some of the ethical situation coming in is. It's like, I think that the idea of the AI art is cool if it's done the right way. If you get the permission of the artist to actually utilize the work, then that's fine. It's because people are literally just doing a Google search and tagging the AI to just download everything and pull all of that in and try to figure out what the tags and the keywords are so they know how to properly delineate between this is a wolf and this is a puppy. That's where the big problem is. And I know there are at least two websites out there that cosplayers can utilize to look up to see if their images have already been used in AI. Just assume if you have any public presence on the internet whatsoever and you've posted a cosplay photo, it's probably been already taken.
And this
No
goes
point in
if
looking it up, it's probably been taken.
this goes if other people have posted photos of you as well.
Yes,
So if you've ever had your
absolutely.
photo taken, say at a convention in a hallway, it's on the internet. It's already been free for use.
It's,
Now,
yeah.
when we say like you can check if your photo's already been taken or used, it's because for this AI model, there are standard databases of photos that are pre-made that they can use. So they'll go to some art website, they'll spider and pick up all of the images all at once,
Yes.
and they'll save it as a database, and they'll go, here's a training set of images. Did those artists give consent? Not necessarily.
Yeah, we don't know.
That won't necessarily stop anybody from using them, though, nor will it stop companies from selling those databases for training your models. So chances are good if you've had an image on the internet somewhere publicly in the last 2 decades, it's probably been placed into one of these models. And remember what we said about not being able to remove things very easily?
They
Yeah.
basically have to, unless the AI was built with the ability to unlearn things or to change some of that content, they pretty much have to destroy the AI and start
And
all
start
over
over.
again and relearn everything, which that is also an ethical issue too. Can we destroy an AI? I don't know. That's a whole other ball of wax and a different topic on a different day. It's fine. yeah, it's all messy, and I'm hoping that we maintain more of like the concept art premise of it with cosplay, and it can be used as a tool for creating these unique one-of-a-kind pieces, both digitally and IRL. I think that would be neat, but it all needs to be done with the ethical of, yes, we got permission to utilize all this art. Yes, we got the cosplayer's permission to do this or to do that, and ethically, please ethically.
I'm okay with it being used for concept art because it's all theoretical. As long as, again, like you said, the consent of the artists has been already obtained. And I'm actually okay, as long as consent has been given, with cosplayers using it on themselves. So if they want to create new cosplay with this, I'm okay with that as long as they are cognizant of their position as an influencer in the community. Bear in mind that whatever actions you do, the community is probably going to take notice, if not mimic, because you're an influencer. That's part of your responsibility. So just keep in mind that, if you choose to do new cosplays every week with this, you're going to have consequences on the community. I'm okay with that as long as you're also okay with the consequences of that, because you'll have to live with it. So that this is not to try and dissuade people from doing it. This is just to bring awareness to some of these issues, and to make people think.
Mm-hmm.
Because realistically, with all of the changes coming so fast,
yeah,
I'm not sure people have had enough time to think.
Yeah, and really just process what that's going to mean for us. We should note that there are a couple of lawsuits out there in regards to the AI content. There's one against that specific tool that Amber mentioned earlier, because, and I'm kind of salty about this too, is that DeviantArt, in the way that they set it up, was they automatically auto-applied every account to be signed up for this tool. Doesn't matter what your stance was, is that everybody was already in the program. And if you wanted to opt out of the program, you had to go through certain steps, but then you also had to go through each one of your individual images that you've uploaded through DeviantArt and uncheck them. And after their NFT stance, that's when I decided I'm deleting everything from my account. I removed everything that I could and deactivated it because I wanted nothing to do with it. Unfortunately, my images had already been utilized and learned.
Exactly. And even if you end up removing the exact images later, the machine's already learned it.
It's already learned.
So even once the image is gone, it still has the knowledge mm-hmm. of that image.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, a lot more, like, processing needs to be done by the community in
yes.
terms of thinking this through.
Thinking it through.
Setting up any, you know, regulations that are reasonable on this, because it will impact cosplayers too. Cosplay is a form of art, after all. And I think we need to decide as a community, like, what we want to support and what we don't, more importantly. Because otherwise people are just going to do what they want to do and we're going to figure it out the hard way,
mm-hmm.
which is just, you know, flying through the fields as fast as we can.
And just see what happens. I'm going to echo Going Ape Costume and say that it is a tool. Really, it's the user and how they utilize that tool that makes a difference.
Most importantly, consent above mm-hmm. all things, both for the people involved and for the art involved, mm-hmm. source material, and the tool, if you are using somebody else's tool.
Mm.
So just think first before you act.
Yeah. That's all. It's food for thought. We could go off into the ethics of this on a completely different episode if we wanted to, because that is a very big topic that has a lot of nuances to it. And I'm pretty sure Amber and I feel the exact same way on it too. So, but yeah, we don't have enough time on this episode, but maybe on a future episode if you all are interested.
Indeed. And of course, if you all have any particular experts or those who are well versed in these sorts of matters and you would like us to chat with them in maybe an interview,
mm-hmm.
please feel free to pass them our way, and we can chat with them.
Absolutely.
Can't promise anything, but we will definitely entertain any and all such requests, and we will give them, you know, thoughtful consideration. We know how complicated this subject can be, and everybody's going to have different feelings about it, of course.
Oh, absolutely.
But I believe that we have covered our topic for today, unless you have anything else that you'd like to add.
I think that is about all that we can cover, given how long we have made this episode already.
Indeed. But of course, if you all in the audience would love to join in the conversation, you are welcome to via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
If you are watching us, all the information is located underneath Amber, over there in the corner. For those who are listening to us, visit us on cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, or on YouTube and Twitter at CosPodcast.
Or you can email us, podcast@cospod.org, where of course you will get an answer from each one of us, along with specially curated Nick Cage memes,
which I will update.
Not AI soon. Generated.
No, they are human generated, because only humans can make the best Nick Cage memes.
And we have plenty to choose from. Otherwise, please stay safe, stay happy out there, keep working on those cosplays so that we can hopefully see all of your smiling, shining faces at the All Con cosplay contest coming up soon.
She squeed so high it broke.
It wasn't even that high.
Your mic did not like it.
At any rate, otherwise, we will see you all in episode 271. Happy cosplaying, everybody. See you next time.
Bye, guys.